CITR.ca. You're now tuned into Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And listen, we do this every Tuesday. We're broadcasting from the unceded traditional ancestral territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations here live in the most western part of UBC's campus. And if you've never tuned in Off the Beaten Path, listen, you are in for a treat, like always. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And if you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path, which, listen, I know most of you have, you know, you tune in here Tuesday, you know, to just kick it with me. Listen, it's a place of mutual understanding. You know, you give me your ears and I talk with you, you know, for the next 60 minutes. And one thing for sure, two things for certain is here on Off the Beaten Path, listen, you're going to learn some new things. You're going to listen to some new music. Maybe you might listen to some old music. You know, you might get a little snippet of some Luther Vandross. Today I was listening to some Sade, and just, you know, sometimes you have to kind of get inside yourself to make sure that you're presenting just, you know, what you need to do on the outside. You know, but this week, I keep saying, you know, it's one of those things that I'm trying. So if I say it, listen, feel free to call in and call me out. I much appreciate that. So if you're driving in your car, let's say you're driving in your car right now and you're in the Evo and you never listen to 101.9 and you're like, wow, that was the best hip hop show I've ever heard. Make sure you program 101.9 in every Evo that you drive in so you can tune into it. And not only so you can tune in, but so that you can tell a friend to tune in, because here at CITR, it is not just a radio station that has the hottest hip hop show on Tuesday and has the best talk show on Tuesday right afterwards, but it is also filled with hundreds of other programmers. I don't know about hundreds, but there's been hundreds on programmers here at UBC CITR throughout the years. And listen, it's a place where people can have a voice and come share. I had a weekend, one of those weekends where you really think about who you want to be and mostly who you do not want to be. Because I learned, you ever learned something about somebody on accident that you never really wish you knew? That's how I felt this weekend. Myself, some friends went to the strip club on Friday, and going to the strip club, it's one of those places, listen, I've been to Disneyland, I've been to Disney World, and the strip club has nothing like that, except they're not the same at all. They're nowhere close. Strip club, Disneyland, nowhere close, except for the fact that you will likely see some things that you did not expect. What I mean by this is, last time I went to Disney, well, my first time ever going to Disneyland in California was in 2014, 2015. And when I went there, I went there with two other adults. So we're adults, no kids at Disney, just kind of hanging out, seeing what Disney was like. Luckily, one of my former roommate, he was able to kind of speed up the process having worked there. And what that means is sometimes you get taken to these back routes, right? And so am I seeing these back routes? They're not like letting me see kind of behind the scenes in Disney. But you do have access to different types of people who may be in Disney, people who go there quite often. And we got taken around to this kind of, I don't know how you say, not a secret area, but like an area where you have to be like a VIP to get to. And it was there where I encountered my first real live Disney adult. Now, when I think about a Disney adult, I did not even know that this was a term until years after this moment, but I knew something was strange kind of at that time. And not strange in the sense of these people were strange, but strange in the sense of like, there's something weird about this that I cannot put my finger on it. And that's how I felt this weekend at the strip club, because like, I don't think Disney adults, I don't think there should be a law against Disney adults. But I do think that we should be watching them, if that makes sense. I think that there needs to be some type of monitoring. And I feel the same about this. So I was in the strip club, you know, having a drink, just chatting it up. And this dancer points out this individual and says, yeah, that guy, you know, he comes in sometimes, hands out chocolates to the dancers. I say, how often? And she says, you know, a few times a week. I'm like, a few times a week? That's crazy, just handing out chocolates. And I take one, you know, when you're looking at somebody's back of their head and you're like, I think I know that person. And you just take one slight step to the right and you realize, oh shit, I do know that person. And listen, I don't like to yuck people's yum. If you listen to the show, maybe you understand that this might not be totally true, because I'm working on allowing people to enjoy things in life. But there's something, like if you go to strip club a few nights a week and you're handing out money, you know, you're just giving money away to the dancers. Nobody's got a problem with that. It's not weird at all. If you go to the strip club a few times a week and you're handing out Ferrero Rochers, somebody should talk to you about that. And by me, somebody should talk to you about that is somebody should be looking through your internet history. Because I'm not saying that you did a crime, but it feels like somebody should be monitoring. And I don't want to get into, listen, we are steamrolling towards a minority report type of life where we are punishing people for crimes that they haven't committed yet. And I know, if you listen to the show, typically I'm 100% against that. But I don't know. I feel like if something happens, I can say there were signs, and this radio show is proof that I am not, that, you know, that we are here not really rocking with that. So that was a weekend that I was like, I don't know about that. Got to babysit my friend's kids. Another one of those things where I'm like, I don't know about that. All the parents, if you're driving to your car, maybe you got in your car, even though it's snowy outside, you're like, I need a break from my family. I'm going to drive around, smoke some cigarettes, turn on some community radio station, see what is going on here in Canada, what's going on in Lower Mainland, what's going on. And you found yourself here. Listen, I understand. Because if I had a three-year-old, I might do that from some time to time. Because I had to watch a three-year-old for a few hours, and I really like kids. I like kids from the age of 5 to 9, and then from 13 up. You know, there's periods where I'm like, you know what, that's somebody else's job. Somebody else in the community can come pick that up. Because, listen, three-year-olds, they're just smart enough. They know what you're saying. They can recognize tone. They can recognize intent of what you're saying. Yet, they're a little like monkeys because they choose what and when to listen to. And that's just something that I find very difficult to comprehend. Anyways, listen, we've been dealing with a lot of weather. I say we're always dealing with a lot of weather, but we got our first snow, dealing with that. Listen, I know a lot of you are in home, you're in bed, cozy up. Maybe you have the blankets around you, you have your little slippers on your feet, you know, you have the radio tuned because you are traditional and you don't like using the internet app. And I appreciate that type of slow living. So I got a lot of great music for you all. I have quite a few opinions about what's going on in kind of the world. It feels as if we are living on a knife's edge and we are slowly descending on the knife. It's slowly cutting us little by little by little. And I think that we should be aware. Everybody should be aware just kind of how we're feeling as a collective. How we're feeling over here at Off the Beam Path. Listen, and if you want to share how you're feeling, like I said, you can call in at 604-822-2487. If you want to request a song, you're welcome to call in. I'm not going to play it, though. Not this week, but maybe next week, because I got a lot of good new music, and I want to share it. So when we come back, listen, I'm going to play some Killer Mike and Damian Marley, because I find that last week, at least, a lot of reggae music to cleanse always does the trick. And then also I got some new Kyle Banks, got some new Mac Miller, some Mariba, and some Samara Sin. So I got a lot of new music and I want to share it when we get back. Now greetings to the world. Play by the King Love is our line, I bring, you know. Sounds brought to you courtesy of the man called Killer Mike alongside yours truly, Big Gangzilla. Yes, true boy!
Holy Ghost. Run like you know that God love you the most. Run me my flowers while living at dinner, just run me my toast. I used to run with a gun. Mommy would pray night and day for her devilish son. She would say Lucifer's using your women and money and drugs and you too blind to see. And I retort, mommy, ain't now we got money, I feel in our tummy, not just rice and peas. And I told her mama the trap is abundant and really it feel like a blessing to me. She looked at me spiteful and said to me, Michael, don't perish for greed, it's a devil's disease. God don't like ugly, I ain't one to judge. Whole lot of gold, Cubans with a ton. Say I kept it solid when it's all said and done. All I know is keep going, run, better run. Mama told me never fold, run, better run. Like Jenny told Forrest Gump, run, better run. The race for freedom ain't won, run, better run. Had to make it out the red clay, run,
some
better run.
Some run out the mill MCs, when I'm bad like Run DMC. And can't kill a mic like killer Mike, them can't run next to me. Real revolution, a British and up in a fight, run off your mouth and see. Decipher the truth from the lies, cause we still have eyes, run back the mats and free. Politician run like thief, thief have a run from police. Blood still a run like water, car gangster a run from beef. But water we run you a fee, even though water should be free, still there is no running water pipeline in enough third world country. Yet them run them Ponzi scheme, and them run I'll under the sea. Meanwhile be running risk and run red light to feed we family. And if money run like joke, nobody could no rich like we. Run we own prep school and own college and university, cause we running to be free. So with a long distance or sprinting, nobody can run fast like we. Everybody don't know the runnings, so we run things and them, but things don't run we. Everybody don't know the runnings, we don't run alone, cause we run with the Almighty.
God don't like ugly, I ain't one to judge. Whole lot of gold, Cubans with a ton. Say I kept it solid when it's all said and done. All I know is keep going, run, better run. Mama told me never fold, run, better run. Like Jenny told Forrest Gump, run, better run. The race for freedom ain't won, run, better run. Had to make it out the red clay.
Lord, and you know, I stay high but I'm low. I do not know where to go. Calling on you, I do not know what to do. How do I get back to you?
I got a story of glory to tell. I was like Jonah and belly a whale. God had to get me and sit me in dirty as filthy and grimy as slimy as jail. I had to pray on bent knee and repent. Lost every dollar but got me some sense. Woke up cold sweats and I'm shaking at night. Woke up and realized that mama was right. I had to run from the wrong to the right. I had to run to the sun and the light. For if I should perish, my kids will have nothing inherit, and that be the devil's delight. See, I want the wisdom of Solomon, kingdom of David, my bloodline, the birthplace of Christ. God don't like ugly, I ain't one to judge. Whole lot of gold, Cubans with a ton. Say I kept it solid when it's all said and done. All I know is keep going, run, better run. Mama told me never fold, run, better run. Like Jenny told Forrest Gump, run, better run. The race for freedom ain't won, run, better run. Had to make it out the red clay, run, better run.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR-CA, and had a caller call in who talked a little bit about, you know, it doesn't quite feel like a knife's edge, but maybe a little more like the frog in the pot where we're just turning up the water slowly and slowly and slowly, and we don't feel it start to boil. You know, we are just existing, you know, thinking, especially I feel like in Vancouver, it's like very, very easy to just imagine yourself in a sauna, you know, like you're in, and then boom, you're boiled. Listen, so if you have lived in, you lived in BC, you lived in here in Canada, it has been a crazy week. I mean, a week where it's really hard to think about Donald Trump has only been president for 2 weeks, guys. Two weeks. 2 weeks. We have quite a bit more of kind of what's going on. So if you haven't, and it feels just like, it feels relentless. Like, I really don't know how else to explain, but the news just kind of feels relentless. And a lot of the times when I find, I try to do the show here, if you've listened to the over the years, you know that I have changed the formats from having interviews a lot to having, you know, I used to have a co-host and I have myself. And sometimes we talk about some things that I really focus on Vancouver and really focus on the Lower Mainland. And I try to kind of, since I'm American, I try to kind of weave in and out of talking about the States and kind of the, you know, American hegemony that exists. And rarely do the stories really converge in where that what's going on in the States has a kind of direct impact on what's going on here, and kind of, I would say, in a tangible way. You know, we talk about some of the things that happened in the States, or protests that happened in the States, or even COVID, or, you know, some of these things, and they don't, it feels, not that we live in a bubble, but it does, you know, it feels like it's very much like a peninsula over here. But that's no longer the case, because Donald Trump, in his first 2 weeks of being president, has, you know, not only, we'll see what it looks like if it's permanently changed, but has really done some damage to not only the goodwill and equity of the United States, it seems, but also has really damaged the capabilities of the federal government. You know, today, I don't know if anybody has saw or has seen his press conference with Netanyahu and talking about how the United States should occupy the Gaza Strip and remove all the move the 1.7 million remaining Palestinians from the Gaza Strip and send them to Egypt or Jordan, and the U.S. occupy. What the fuck? We have seen the tariff, the economic attack on Canada and Mexico. You know, we've seen the same thing with China. We have also seen in those 2 weeks that China's capabilities when it comes to building scalable technology and how it has far outpaced even what we thought was capable. When I say we, I mean just kind of the empire thought was capable. And, you know, we're only on the fourth day of Black History Month. It's only 2 weeks into Donald Trump's presidency, where head of Department of Defense has said no more Black History Month. And I saw someone on my Facebook, because, like I said, people on Facebook have deleted me, but I have not deleted the people, you know, and because I really like to see what people are saying, or even if they don't share the same political views and the type of things that people, we're never going back. Like that's one of the things that I find, I've talked about this, particularly when it comes to interpersonal relationships with people that I know who I feel like have, I'm sure everybody knows somebody like this, where somebody has lied so much that they have lied themselves into a wall, and there's no coming back from the lies. And not because you don't let them back, but because for them to kind of go back on the things that they said, it would, they would have to do more reevaluation of who they are that is pretty much humanly possible. And I find that that's where these people are at now, where it is, people have become so cruel, become so okay with the cruelty that is going on, that there's almost no walking it back. Like, when, and I think that it's not the same as both sides, but I'd like to kind of think about this. We talked about this last week on the show, the second part. So you were here last week. Just park it. But in the press conference with Netanyahu, Donald Trump talks about why would Palestinians want to go back there? That place is hell. Look what happened to it, while sitting next to the person who created that hell and not being able to make the connection on one, why people want to go out, why people want to go back, and also 600,000 people were killed in a year and a half. And it's just glossed over like a rounding error. And it is incredibly disheartening. I mean, it is infuriating and disheartening to see just how cruel, and people who kind of rubber stamp Donald Trump's decisions don't see how that the connection of the cruelty is going to come back to it's all connected, you know. And I find that to be very sad. But these people have, because if you say, obviously, this is the price, or this is the cost, or this is, you know, these people are deserving of this, or you can't really walk that back. You know, there's no saying, oops, I was blinded and now I have these decisions. And we're not just because they can't, but also because they've crossed, you know, they've crossed the Rubicon, they've crossed this line. And it's, I don't really know how to express, because I don't think anybody thought, people thought it would be bad. I don't know if anybody thought it would be this bad this fast. It just kind of has slipped away. And I saw a tweet today that kind of talked about some of the things that Democrats were doing to make sure, you know, to try to limit Trump's power. And I saw a press conference of people saying, of some old Democratic leaders, you know, trying to get some rah-rah. And the tweet also said the Democrats are the Clippers of politics. And if you ever watch the NBA, or you just kind of understand NBA lore, you know that the Clippers are just perennial and historical losers. Like, they will always find a way to lose. And it seems the same way, because while they are putting together, I saw the Democratic spokesman say, it's not true Democrats aren't doing anything. Look at all of the things that we are trying to do. And it just feels a little too little too late. It's like, you know, this thing is broken. And we talk a lot about on the show, pretty much about like how it was never broken, and it was always designed in order to make sure that, you know, the system was designed in a way that it was designed. And, you know, I'm not someone who said the system didn't need to be broken, but I just never imagined it would be the richest man in the world really in control of where and how to break things in a way that kind of suits them. You know, it just wasn't something I anticipated. But kind of bring it back to here and the Lower Mainland is that I think we talked about this last week about saying that, you know, there needs to be some creative solutions, like always trying to see some creativity, and talking about how the BC premier was going to ban, you know, American liquor sales, particularly from red states. But I just kind of think they should ban it from all states. And that's what they did. So if you go to the liquor store, you won't see any American whiskeys. You won't see American bourbons. It'll be just Canadian whiskeys, Canadian bourbons. I have talked to a lot of my friends who are Canadians and non-Canadians, and just there seems to be a collective rally around just making sure that you're buying Canadian goods. I was on a BC, I'm in a BC Mariners, BC Mariners group on Facebook. Not the most, how would you say, either even centrist or left group on Facebook. This is BC Maritime, like, work liking people, and even people in that group who have been pretty vocally pro-conservative party, pro-Trump, you know, are aligned with not taking vacations in the States, not just because the dollar's ass, but also just because it just feels as if the sentiment is gone. Like I talked about, you know, on last week, like where'd all this beef come from? I have no idea, but it seems to exist. And it's not just getting stronger. I've never, like at the Raptors game last week, the American anthem was booed, and not just booed in like a, not just booed in like, you know, one big boo and everybody, you know, got polite after that. It was one big boo and then a bunch of boos. And listen, and as somebody who loves to boo, and I say that there are few better feelings than a righteous boo. I have felt a lot of things, and one of those things that feels so good is starting booing, and then people boo with you. It's like every boo is a pat on the back from a hater. And so it makes the boo pat on the back like twice as good, because while they're haters, they are also acknowledging that you are a better hater or a more confident hater, which is pretty high up in the compliments of the hater book. And so I just can imagine that felt so good. And I think that it's important to kind of keep an eye on kind of what's going on. But at what point do we just kind of punt and just say, holy shit, this thing is broken and it's not going to get fixed? But the thing is, you can't just punt. You just can't give up. Like I have got some feelings on some things I'd like to punt on. But you can't, you know, you got to see it through, because listen, it's important for you and myself that we continue to kind of talk about what's going on, but also continue to find groups, look for groups, be, you know, join part of groups that are trying to make a change. Like I think for myself is something that I always need to remember, that, you know, you always have to show up. You can never be a recluse and just kind of fall to the back, because if you are the type of person who acknowledges and you see these things going on and then you fall to the back, it only makes more room for the losers and the dweebs and the herbs and the bums to take up that space, because what we're seeing is seeing a lot of bum energy and a lot of bum energy, a lot of misplaced beef. And yeah, it's just very interesting. I think that this feels like a miscalculation in this way, that it's hard to imagine things going back to normal. I find that maybe we've been saying this legitimately for like 8 years. Almost every year. Well, you know, it's hard to go back to normal after this. Listen, when we realize that there's no normal, like it's all fucked up, and everything is cake. So when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about what are some of the things that are going on here in Vancouver for Black History Month. Maybe what liquors you should buy, where you should buy them at, and why, if you have kids, you should be monitoring their Snapchat, because there are drug dealers trying to give away free drugs. When we get back.
Ven Finance transactions, money transpassions, heart in casket, frigid like baskets. Oh. Mm-hmm. I remember back then, I was you acting till you put the mask on, and it was like this, you know. You switched colors. Songs in your eyes, they sing so sad. The airplanes on your mind, you wanna get gone all day if then you ride it high. Drowning quiet with the rising tides, like oh, ooh, like oh, oh, but. You're the original, you got the one I go to. You're the original. You never do what they do. You're the original. Don't let a counterfeit you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't let a counterfeit you. And when I make my multi meal, I did it real. I didn't sacrifice a feel for the view. But then again, how can I judge? They just need bucks. And when you make it out the mud, you're never going back to the sludge. Look up high, wild sky. There are high hope functions flying high. You're the original. You got the one I go to. You're the original. You never do what they do. You're the original. Don't let a counterfeit you.
It off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Let's see, we have a caller. Maybe we can see if we can get him on the line.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Shit. Pretty good, man.
Doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
Well, it's scary living down here, man. It really is. It's scary. I live in one of the areas that's actually not so bad, but I also don't live in the city, so I live outside the city.
Yeah. Tell me your thoughts. How are you feeling?
Well, let's see. I had to check my passport and make sure my passport existed. I'm coming up in April for my friend's show. I have a lot of friends in Vancouver. It's the only way I keep myself sane when something happens. I go hang out with my Vancouver family and, you know, kind of like reconnect with my own personal self, because like I had a friend who lived in Vancouver who was like my best buddy, and she, you know, had lived there for quite a while. And she's in English Bay. She's literally, her ashes are in English Bay. So,
damn.
You don't. It's one of those things. And, you know, I mean, just trying to keep my head up and trying to do what I can. And at the same time, you know, I work with people who are disabled, and I am disabled myself. And I help people get jobs and keep jobs down here. And
yeah. I feel like that's it's. Was this something? I mean, I know we all kind of anticipated, you know, that it might not go kind of the way we wanted to go. But for you, how did you anticipate it being this fast?
I'm not surprised it's this fast, but I think in some ways they're doing it so fast they're actually going to piss off more people than they think. And actually, I think the growing dissatisfaction with the person that, you know, the one positive, I don't know if you guys have been hearing, but a lot of people, even the people who voted for Trump, are like, I didn't vote for Elon Musk. So what the hell is this guy doing here?
Yeah. I'm curious on when, on how bad it gets with Elon Musk before, Donald Trump, you know, kind of gets him out of the way.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the problem is, I mean, it's just, you know, if you look at the whole thing, Elon Musk and Donald Trump are both clearly students of Hitler. They've always been students of Hitler. Like Elon Musk, I mean, he couldn't have been any more the student of Himmler and Hitler if he tried. And the thing is, with this whole thing about the Gaza land deal, I mean, this is insane. This is the dumbest thing we could ever do as a country. It's like saying, hey, let's make sure that people who hate people are going to like hate your country for the rest of the eternity. And, you know, I didn't like the fact that was not happy with Biden bombing, letting shit happen over there. I did vote for Harris because I wanted to make sure that we had someone who was not going. And Harris had been going after, what's his name? Fuck it. Netanyahu and schooling his shit behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the thing. People were getting the Democratic Party is used to be a party of like, if you don't do what we say, we know exactly where the bodies are buried. So you either do what we need to do. Because that's how you got a lot of the landmark legislation passed that was actually good for people.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, we know where the bodies are buried. Do you really want, you know, the fact that you go to a gay club on the weekends, you know, and you go to your, you know, high class muckety muck church with your evangelical, you know, basically there's always been this. That's the thing about D.C. I mean, I used to go to D.C. all the time. It's kind of hilarious. My dad used to laugh and say, you love the District of Columbia and British Columbia both. When I said, in some ways, that's true. The thing is, D.C., they know where the bodies are buried. I mean, they know exactly where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those you know, it's quiet secrets that the Grindr use spikes up when the RNC has a convention and they...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know.
I mean, this is the thing. You know, Donald Trump, if people were actually paying attention, if they, quote-unquote, were so about, you know, getting an evangelical, right, Christian candidate, had they looked at the all the stories that were written about him and his drug use at Studio 54, would have found out he's nowhere near what they thought he was to begin with. Number two, to begin with, and this is the thing I have. This is kind of the thing that I have an issue with outing, because if outing saves us from getting literally maniacal people who will kill us all, are we really saving? Are we really not? Are we making a mistake in the process?
Yeah, I think it gets to be a slippery slope, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know I think it gets to be a slippery slope where doing the things in which that you absolutely find, you know, detestable can save, you know, as the prisoner's dilemma. Will it save us, or will it just make us, you know, like them?
Yeah, and the thing is, at the same time, though, the question now becomes, and this is the thing, you know, had someone said, okay, I have a film of Donald Trump at Studio 54 doing stuff that was, you know, pretty much exactly what he detests and talks about all the time, you know,
mm-hmm.
would have probably stopped him in his tracks.
Yeah, it might have before, but I feel like that train... You know, I don't know if not now.
I mean, he's got too much control. If he had had no control over it, like being outed, then it would have done something. I mean, because unfortunately, I mean, this is the thing about the United States, which I, you know, unfortunately, as someone who's tried to get into BC multiple times because I do not fit in this country to begin with. You know all everyone's, you know, everyone's little secrets. And fortunately, especially when you grew up, you know, basically passing for multiple ways, you know, you hear everyone's bullshit, excuse my language, but you see it too much. And the thing is with the states at this point, there are a lot of really good politicians down, you know, that were around in the, you know, and my grandfather's worked with a lot of them because he was a union leader. He was up in BC helping unions get really, you know, a good foothold up there to begin with. And, you know, by a certain point, you know, he knew there were some violent people who were after him, and they had their papers ready to go to BC.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I understand. Listen, I appreciate you. Thank you for calling. You know, and I hope that, you know, over the next however long we have, you know, we can continue to push back, because I'm from DC. I lived in Ohio for quite a bit and then I moved here, and I know about J.D. Vance, and he also is awful as well. So there's no
one
to come from behind it.
It's just one of those things, basically, you know, when someone's so vehemently opposed, you know, they're probably that person anyway. You know, it's the biggest hater is the one who's doing the hating. So, you know, it's the whole thing of, and this is the whole thing, you know, for me is, you know, and this is something I would say to, you know, you and all the people up in Vancouver right now, which is, there's a lot of us that really, really do not know what to do at this point, because we've always been like a portion of BC. We've always been the southern tip. Even when I went to Europe, like people would laugh and say, "You're from southern BC," and I would laugh and say, "I wish." And they'd be like,
"Well,
you know."
Well, listen. You know, now that we're drawing lines, you know, maybe Cascadia can come to fruition.
Oh God, tell me about it, man. I wish so. I'll be honest with you. This is the thing. What I guess I would say, this is basically lots of love. I keep one way I keep my hope up is the little radio station in our neighborhood, in our little town here. I live down about 30 miles north of Seattle. And it keeps us a little grounded, because we've got the music show that's like a lot like Gak's show, basically, you know, Exploding Head Movies. And we've got our own little version called Dead Electric down in this little town. And the thing is, you know, the radio from Canada, like, you know, this station and CBC even keep me centered, man. I didn't have CBC in this station. I can tell you also a lot of the people who work at KXP listen to the station and CBC too. So,
well, that
we're just trying to keep our,
well, that's
keep
good.
Our heads.
Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, as a listen, as an American living in Canada, and as an American living close to Canada, you know, we gotta keep, you know, keeping on. I appreciate you calling. I have a few more things to talk about, but I want to thank you very much.
Of course. And, you know, 13th and U was a cool place, unfortunately, but now it's not.
Hey, you know what? Listen, we'll figure it out. But appreciate it. And, yes, listen, stay tuned. I got some more music, and then I got a few funny things to talk about. So thank you so much.
Well, you have a good night. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for, I don't expect you to put me on the air, but, you know, as usual, you know, I'm coming up there.
Hey, you know what?
I want everyone to know I come up there basically as someone coming into a place where I feel so much more comfortable than where I live at this point.
Well, you know what? This is my show. Listen, I can put you on air for as long as I want. So appreciate it. And thank you so much.
You have a good night.
You too. Listen, so also love callers, love people who listen. We share the same sentiment. This is why community radio is so important, because it's not just you know, listen, we're all in this together. So listen, I got some call banks, Sir MOB, and when I come back, listen, I'm going to talk about the story, the lighthearted story that has been keeping me and my grandmother connected over the past few days.
Making boss moves, people stare when I walk through. They be minding my business, got my life on their wish list. Niggas think I be playing, put a couple names on my hit list. Better watch what you say, you ain't trying to get ignorant. I'ma tell you what I want, I don't need me a reason. Cut the check or I'm leaving.
flight, morning, a flight in the evening. Damn, no time, I ain't got no time. Pay my dues, I don't pay no mind. Play with you, I don't think that's wise. I'm already too fly. And you know this man. Smoke with Smokey on Friday. I need everything my way, fam. I run play, you ain't on my squad. Run all day, you ain't on your job. Press my line, you might press your luck. What you want, I don't give no fucks. I'ma take what I want. I don't need me a reason. Cut the check or I'm leaving. Got no time, I ain't got no time. Pay my dues, I don't pay no mind. Play with you, I don't think that's wise. I'm already too fly.
You're listening to Carl Banks, sir. MOB here on CITR 101.9. Listen, CITR is such a important space. Listen, we do the shindig. Listen, we have a Say Less party happening. Listen, there's so many people, so many programmers here who put on shows, so many people here who talk about things that need to be talked about here, kind of in the community, keeping it local. We guys always have some new music, always have some kind of new stories. Listen, sometimes you see people just kind of living a life and on in which listen, sometimes you see people living a life and you can just only imagine kind of like, how did this come to be? So the story kind of from this week that has me and my grandmother, my grandmother is one of the most tech savvy, you know, older people that I know, because she will tell me about stories, but oftentimes she'll tell me about stories and then I will, you know, investigate them. We'll be able to talk about them, or she'll send me a podcast, or she'll send me some YouTube short that I need to watch. But me, I sent her this story about this American woman in Pakistan, reportedly who was catfished upon arrival and demanded $100,000 from the Pakistani government before she would leave. And so, like, this story is two parts that I feel like. One is a little sad, but also quite funny at the same time. Like, I sometimes, have yet to find kind of what that line is between when do you laugh and when do you not laugh. But just like, I never really imagined I watched 90 Day Fiance. I've watched 90 Day Fiance. I love Love After Lockup. You know, it's my favorite TV show. And so these types of love affairs are not foreign to me, but I have never seen one where somebody goes to the other country. Like, you know, I feel like they have 90 days the other way, but like that country always feels like tropical, you know, it always feels, you know, like it could be an island, you know, it's always the same, similar, you know, I share some similarities, some of these men, never seen a woman go to Pakistan, never seen a woman from Brooklyn go to Pakistan. And it's just incredible. I just find the story to just be quite hilarious. The sad part is that her son, she has an adult son on there talking about how, you know, his mom is in distress and she needs to, you know, she's trying, they're trying to get her to come back home. You know, but the videos, it's really some iconic shit. And I feel like if there wasn't so many things happening in the world, it would be horrible. I don't want to skip over this story, but I also don't want to make, I want to make sure that we kind of talk about it a little bit, because just kind of every year they talk about, we talk about Black History Month. We talk about kind of the black figures in Vancouver. So little, so few. And when I mean so few, I mean so few that we talk about, not so few that exist. Because kind of in my short stay here in Vancouver, I'm always researching, always, you know, learning about more black people that have kind of, that have shaped and that have contributed to the culture here. But one figure that always comes and pops up, which is Joe Forte, and they always talk about, you know, him being a lifeguard in English Bay, and there's a restaurant named after him, and, you know, kind of how everybody treated him so nicely. And I always talk about here on the show about how, you know, I wonder what his life was really like. So there was an author on Ruby Diaz's new book, you know, really takes a look at some of the contradictions that Joe faced here. And I think that, you know, it was basically, her book is called Searching for Seraphim, and it's the life and legacy of Seraphim Joe Fortes. And it's talking about his life, his, you know, him coming from Trinidad and kind of the things that he experienced here in a more historically accurate way. So not the just kind of washing over his life as a prominent black figure, but as someone who is, you know, who's real and existed and dealt with a lot of things here. And listen, I'm going to pick up the book. But hopefully, maybe if anybody knows, you know, listen, you know, whoever knows who's listening, but if you know, Ruby Diaz, listen, I'm going to try to get in contact with her, because I would like to try to read the book and talk to her about it, because I find it fascinating. So, you know, maybe if we can do that during Black History Month, that would be great. But if, you know, if we have to push it throughout the year, listen, you know, we talk about Black history all the time. But hey, that was Off the Beaten Path here on this week. Listen, February 4th. Listen, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things to do. And, you know, we're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, right after the best hip-hop show here in Canada, Crimes and Treasons, on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Listen, if you got a Tuesday night and you don't have, you know, you just want to sit around and you want to have a kind of a conversation, listen, tune in. Tell a friend to tell a friend, because we're right here. We're not going anywhere. Stay tuned. I'm out.
I'm a vet, I'll admit it. I'm the best, and you know this, man. Smoke with Smokey on Friday. I need everything my way.
Don't be afraid to put